This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us shortly, Ricky O'Donnell, who is the college hoops editor and the NBA assignment editor at SB Nation. And he has a new mock draft out, and he joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ricky, thanks for your time today.
No problem.
Hey, Ricky.
On your Twitter account, it says, I have a new mock draft out now that the order is set. And I'm looking at it, and it has all the way up to number 7. It does not have number 8. I'm not happy about it because I wanted to know, Ricky, who's at number 8?
Yeah, you got to click the article.
I know, I did, and it wouldn't go.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is number 8, who I had to Cleveland. He's a point guard from Kentucky. There were probably some other players on the board who are projected to maybe go ahead of him, Wendell Carter being one of them. He's a big man from Duke. There's also Mikal Bridges, who's a wing from Villanova, who could go in that spot to Cleveland. So I do think the Cavs will have a couple different intriguing options there, and obviously there's a lot of uncertainty around that franchise given LeBron's free agent decision this summer.
Slam dunk, Ayton at number 1 to Phoenix now that we know the order.
No, I have Doncic.
Okay.
You just look at it. Like, Phoenix made a very outside-of-the-box coaching hire, and they hired Doncic's Slovenian national team coach. So they're going to be more tied into him than anyone. When Doncic was playing for him last summer as an 18-year-old, they made a Cinderella run to win the FIBA Euro Cup. So I feel like, just given that coaching hire, that they probably want Doncic. They're tied in pretty tight to him. Just based on that, I also think he'd be a really good fit with Devin Booker and Josh Jackson because it would give him a lot of interchangeable wings. Doncic is such a good playmaker that a spot-up shooter like Booker would really thrive playing off him. And I think that someone with Josh Jackson's athleticism would sort of complement Doncic's game well, too, because Josh Jackson could defend some of the players Doncic couldn't. So I like Doncic number 1, but certainly Ayton's in the mix as well.
Ricky O'Donnell joining us from SB Nation. Ricky, the one thing I have that it's in the back of my head on this, think about the way the NBA is being played today, and it's without the traditional center, and big men, I don't want to say aren't important because a good big man can be hugely important, but sometimes they're marginalized. And there are a lot of big guys that are being listed at the top of this draft. Is this a draft more than most where a team could make a mistake drafting a big guy instead of drafting a better overall basketball player?
Yeah, I think absolutely. It's the biggest storyline in the draft. You even look at someone like Rudy Gobert, who's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. He was run off the floor against Houston in the playoffs. Same thing happened to Hassan Whiteside in the first round against Philly. You just look around the league now. I mean, the centers in the last NBA Finals were LeBron and Kevin Durant. Giannis is playing center for stretches in Milwaukee. That's when the Bucks were playing their best basketball. So I totally agree. It's a big man heavy draft. 5 of the first 7 picks could be big men in this draft at a time when centers have never been more marginalized. I do think that there's a lot of risk associated with some of these players because, especially if you're not a two-way big man, like DeAndre Ayton's a great physical talent, but he has terrible defensive instincts, and center is the one position where defense is more important than offense. Marvin Bagley is sort of a similar story. I don't know if he's a 4 or a 5. You know, now the 4 is being played by sort of oversized wings in the NBA. As a 5, Bagley's not going to block enough shots. So, yeah, I think it's fascinating. It directly applies to this draft class in particular, and it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out.
Does a team sitting at 8 benefit from that, where teams might make some mistakes on big guys and leave some talented basketball players there for the Cavs?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I put Gilgeous-Alexander for the Cavs, even though most people have Wendell Carter ahead of them. It's like, well, you know, do the Cavs really need another big man when they're paying Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love all this money? Whether LeBron stays or not, they're going to need a point guard. I really like Gilgeous-Alexander. Most people have Colin Sexton ahead of him. But I think Gilgeous-Alexander is a better talent. He's 6'6". He has a 7-foot wingspan. He's not a great outside shooter, but he's a very good passer. He ended up being Kentucky's best player this year, even though he was their lowest regarded recruit coming in. Terrific footwork on his drive, skilled finisher. So I really like him. Most people don't have him as a top 10 pick. I think he'd be a great choice for Cleveland when they come on the clock at number 8.
Ricky, this week is the NBA draft combine. And, you know, you've got the combine. How much can it help or hurt? Is a private workout more important than the combine? And just kind of, I mean, what do teams get out of the combine? I think we all sit here and try to judge it based on the NFL combine, but I think they're two different things. You tell me, what do they get?
Totally, yeah. It's not this. I go to the combine every year because it's in Chicago. I'm going tomorrow and Friday. It's not the NFL combine, that's for sure. The NFL combine can make or break a prospect's chances. The NBA combine, the athletic testing is just different because not everyone does it. Like, we don't know sort of where the baseline for here's what LeBron did, here's what Kevin Durant did, here's what MJ did, because not everyone goes through with it. I do think that players can boost their stock. I remember last year, Kyle Kuzma was just on fire in the shooting drills and on fire in the 5-on-5. At that point, he wasn't really considered a first-round pick. He ends up being a late first-rounder to the Lakers, having a terrific rookie year. So I think those sort of fringe guys are the dudes who can elevate themselves in the combine setting, in the 5-on-5, in some of the drills, and in the athletic testing. I mean, there's definitely going to be, like, different, you know, different players are going to be viewed or judged more heavily off different testing. So, you know, it's not just what's your vertical leap, but sometimes, you know, that three-cone drill that sort of measures lateral quickness, that can be really big for centers who are going to need to be able to stick with guards in the switch-heavy league now. So I would probably say that private workouts are more vital to draft position than the combine, but the combine can still elevate a prospect who's on the fringe of the first round.
Ricky O'Donnell joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at @SBN_Ricky. He's the college hoop editor and NBA assignment editor at SB Nation. Ricky, how deep is this draft? We hear it's deep. It appears that 8-9 players look like they could be real good players, but how deep do you get contributors that could have an impact on an NBA team?
Yeah, if you just look at, you know, draft history in general, there's always guys who end up being really good players taken outside of the lottery, even deep into the second round. Every year in the draft, I just did a story ranking the draft classes since 2003, so I was going through some draft history data. And some of these years will have 4 or 5 great players in the second round. So it's a tough question to answer in terms of how deep it is. I really like everyone throughout the lottery. Someone like Lonnie Walker, who is a guard from Miami, I have him going 14 to Denver. In my latest mock draft, I love Lonnie Walker's game. I think that he could be a really good pro. Same goes for Zaire Smith, who is one of my favorite prospects in this draft. I have him at 14 right now. I have him at 12 right now. He can go anywhere from like 12 to 16. So I do think it's a pretty deep draft. I would say it starts to fall off around maybe like 16 or 17 in general. But still, I mean, there's going to be great players who are drafted after that and into the second round in this draft, because that's the case every year.
So if you're a Cavs fan and you're sitting at number 8, your confidence level that you should get a good player, 1 to 10?
I mean, there's definitely going to be great NBA players in this draft drafted after the 8th pick. Like, that's just the reality of the situation every year. So the Cavs just have to view, you know, what they want to do with this pick. Are they trying to find someone to play with LeBron? Are they trying to find, you know, a nominal LeBron replacement? And they sort of need to decide how they're going to build the rest of the team going forward, given that situation. There's going to be a lot of good basketball players available at that 8th pick, though. And whether it's a guard like Gilgeous Alexander or a big man like Wendell Carter, they'll definitely be able to find someone who can help them.
But what's something that would take you off Gilgeous Alexander for the Cavs?
Who would take me off of him?
Yeah, who would you – what would make – I mean, at what point would you say, okay, well, maybe this
if
would
somebody
be
somebody slides.
Yeah, is there a second best player for the Cavs other than him?
Yeah. So, I mean, Trae Young, obviously LeBron likes him. LeBron's already on the record. I actually like Trae Young quite a bit. I know he's going to be the most polarizing player in this draft, but he's the best shooter by far. I would say he's the second best passer behind Doncic. And those are skills that translate in the NBA. Now, you know, the next Steph Curry comparisons are sort of, those are way overblown, because Curry to me is one of the greatest players of all time. But even if he could be 70% of Curry, he could still be a really effective player in the NBA. So I think that, you know, that's something they should look at. Also, Michael Porter Jr., I think he's got some LeBron connections there as well. Porter didn't play at all in his freshman year at Missouri, only 2 games at the end of the season because of back surgery. I saw him play a bunch in high school on the EYBL Nike circuit, on the USA basketball circuit. I always thought he was a fantastic prospect. Now, a year later, there's major injury questions. There's issues over his ball handling and shooting. But if the Cavs are looking for sort of that go-to scorer, let's say LeBron bounces. I mean, Porter could potentially be that. I question how he can impact the game if he's not someone who's going to average 24, 25 points a game. But, I mean, he's got the potential to do it. When, you know, when he was at his athletic peak, he was a three-level scorer as a 6'10 combo forward. There's a lot to like about that skill set in the modern NBA. So I'd say Trae Young, Michael Porter, those are two other guys who, you know, could potentially be Cavs picks at number eight.
And, Ricky, you have them going 5, Michael Porter to Dallas, Trae Young 6 to Orlando. Do you think they slide, either one of them, down to 8?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, totally. Like, I have Wendell Carter going 9, but Wendell Carter could easily go 5 or 6. He's just a really good player. I have Bamba at 7, but he could, you know, he could go earlier or fall as well. So, yeah, I think the Porter, because of the injury issues, and Trae Young, it's like some people think that Trae Young is not a good prospect. He's definitely undersized. I don't think he can dunk. He has a lot of question marks. He's turnover prone, of course, but what he does well, he does very, very well. So I think that both those guys could potentially be available.
Ricky, I'm sure we'll be in touch before we get to the draft. Thank you for your time.
Thanks,
today.
Ricky.
Yep.
Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, and you can follow him on Twitter at @SBN_Ricky, R-I-C-K-Y.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.